online tonight to our Waldo Baptist Bible study on Sunday night. If you hear people talking, that's because they are. We'll get started here in just a minute. Well, it might be more than a minute, but we're studying out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. But I was reading you a scripture this morning out of the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter and the 13th verse. And I began in the 12th verse. And then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." And we have to understand that there's a lot that goes with the name of Jesus. When we talk about one thing, he is our mediator between us and the Father. So when we pray in his name. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also when it says in my name, there's a lot that goes with that. We're talking about according to his purpose, according to his plan, according to his will, according to his word, according to his kingdom. There are a lot of things that go into when we ask in his name. And so, because this is not like Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you a blank check and anything you put in there, I'll do it and you can do whatever you want to with it." That's not what it is. It is Jesus saying, as a child of mine, when you ask anything and you know it's according to my plan and my purpose and my will and my word and my kingdom, I will do it. That's the clarification we have to have when we look at this verse of Scripture. So many people have a misconception about what this means. And so, as we were studying this morning, where he said that in Romans chapter 12, that he urges us by the mercies of God that we be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by our renewing of our mind, making ourselves a living sacrifice. He's talking about us being vessels. You know, I look at it as this. I'm a vessel that God has created, and God has created me to serve him as a priest. And you are too. You're a vessel that God created, and he created you for his service. And so as you go through this life, you look at where you can be used for God's will and God's purpose and God's kingdom, because you know when you do that, it goes back to the same study book that's so important, Experiencing God. What you will experience is God working and not you working. And so it's very important that we understand that as we go through this life, we look at ourselves. I am a vessel that God has created, and he has created me in his plan and purpose to choose me before the foundation of the earth, that I might be a child of his and I might be a priest of his here on earth, and he might use me for his glory, his purpose, his plan, and his will. So I filter everything in my life. I need to filter everything in my life through that filter, knowing that when I do that, asking God to bless that, I see God working and not just me, because that is more important than anything else in the world. Well, we don't need to see what men can do and women can do. We see that every day. What we have to see is what Noah can do in the power of the Holy Spirit, led by the grace of God, obedient to the Word of God, he can see God work through him to do something that he would never be capable of doing without God working through him. Because our purpose as a priest, as a Christian, as a part of the priesthood here on earth of Christ, is to be used for the very reason he saved us for. And that's part of the priesthood of the believer. To view yourself as a vessel that God has created, that God has saved, that God is working through, and has promised you, he will work through you. But the filter you run it through is his plan, his purpose, his will, his kingdom. When you say in his name, it means all of that. It means all of that. And so as we look at the priesthood of the believer here in 1 Peter chapter 2, then that's literally what we're talking about. As a priest here on earth, I am a chosen vessel that God has chosen before the foundation of the earth to work through my life. And so my responsibility is to make my functions and the faculties of my life line up with his purpose, his plan, his will, because when I do that, asking in his name, I get to see what God can do and not what Jack can do. Because if I go in my own strength and my own power and my own capabilities, I'm going to fail. But the greatest joy you will ever have on this earth is for you to do that and see God work and know that he used you. Now, that's the greatest joy and the greatest happiness, the greatest satisfaction you'll ever have on this earth is for that to happen. And the only way it can is for you to filter everything through this filter that God has given us according to his will, his purpose, his plan, his kingdom. When you do that, then you see what God can do. And that's what the priest did. He was a representative between the people and God. And when he was obedient and brought the people before God in obedience, they got to see what God could do. And that's the same way with us. And so I just wanted to go back to that and make sure that we understood exactly what what's that saying there. And in other words, I line up all my human faculties, all that I am, to be a vessel through which God can work. All right, now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 9:27. Chapter 9, verse 27. Paul was a great example for all of us, the Apostle Paul. And let's begin in verse 26. Now let's begin in verse 25. Now let's begin in verse 24. That way you'll have it all in context. He is using the example of serving the Lord as if it is a race, not a sprint, but a marathon. You might vision it in the Olympics. And he says in verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" And the prize for Paul was living in obedience to the purpose, plan, and will of God's kingdom and God's word, so that when God looked at him, he might be able to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That was Paul's prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. There's preparation. There's preparation. When you get saved, that's only the beginning of your preparation. That's where it starts. Your preparation to be the vessel God can use begins when you're justified, regenerated, before Almighty God. That's when it starts. Okay, so this is what he's talking about. Goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That will last forever. Okay, now notice what he says. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Look at verse 27. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What did he say? He said, I beat my body. Now that don't mean he takes a whip and he beats his body. What it means is he realizes that as God has saved him a vessel to be used of God, there's always going to be a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And so if he's going to make all his faculties available through which God can work, he's got to control the body. He's got to control the mind. He's got to control. He said, it's not easy. He said, it's not easy. You have to compete. You have to run the race. And I beat my own body. He didn't mean with whip. He's saying, I have to put myself in subjection to the will and purpose and plan of God, because if I don't, the flesh will take over. And so that's the battle we have every day running the race, right? This is a marathon of a race. And Satan will give you every excuse in the world not to make yourself available to allow God to work through you. You can count on it. He'll give you every excuse in the world to make you unavailable as a vessel for God to work through. And believe me, it happens all the time to everybody, every day. No matter if you're Nate the pastor or who you are, it happens to everybody, every day. So Paul says, I have to put myself in subjection, or else the flesh will control the race. He said, I've got my eye on the prize. I've got my eye fixed on the prize. Well, I've got my eye fixed on the prize, and it's Christ in heaven. And so this vessel has to be controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, so that God can work through me to produce what he wants in my life as a believer and as a priest here on earth. And that's what we see when we're talking about the priesthood of the believer and what all that means to us as a Christian as we go through life. We have to filter everything down through this according to the plan, purpose, will, and glory of God and the kingdom of God. Okay? Because if you're a part of the kingdom of God, guess what you've got? A king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And the king is the one you're serving. The king is the one you're serving. And so we filter everything down through that. Maybe I'm overstating that, but that's what, when the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you make your bodies a living sacrifice, this is what he's talking about. This is what he's talking about. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds in Christ Jesus. This is what he's talking about. When we look at that and we go through that. All right, so I wanted to make sure we had a handle on that. All right, so we filter everything through that. Now, Hebrews 13 and 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Give you time to get there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Notice that it says, through Jesus. Everything is through Jesus. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. This is the second thing we're looking at when we're talking about what is my responsibility, duty as a priest. It is to praise. It is to offer praise to God. What does he say? Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God what? A sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, what does it say? God is pleased. Now when I'm going, you can stay there if you want to. Actually, just stay right there in your seat. But I'm going back in my Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is what it said. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the same thing he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus Christ, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of praise. Now then, what I want us to study about now and think about is what that is. What that is. Now, it's not just I come to church on Sunday morning and I wave my hands and I raise my hands and I pray, shout amen and I clap my hands and I say, I praise God. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. In fact, you can do all that and not praise God. You can do all that and not praise God. It's according to where your heart is. It's according to where your heart is. So, the first thing about praising God, I'm going to Psalms 104. I'm going to keep my place there now. I'm going to keep my place in Hebrews chapter 13 because we're going to come back to that, okay? But I'm going back over here to Psalms 104. Now, most of you have heard Brother Lewis Moore pray. And this is the way Lewis Moore starts every prayer, if you'll notice. No matter what he's praying about or praying for, this is the way he starts every prayer. Not with the exact words, but with the exact purpose. With the exact purpose. So what does it say in Psalms 104? Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servant. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood still above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they looked to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys. to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. What is he doing? What is he doing? He is praising, reciting the attributes of God. He is in his praise, what is he doing? He is recognizing, he is acknowledging the greatness of God. I do this sometimes, you do this sometimes. God, this is what I want. Even praying for people. God, I want you to heal this person. I want you to help this person. I want you to do this. 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 That's not how we're to come to God. We're to come to God, first of all, acknowledging and recognizing his attributes. Lord, you are a sovereign, eternal, glorious, almighty God above all your creation. You are sovereign. God, you are good in all aspects. You are above all your creation. You are loving, you are kind, you are merciful, your mercies are new every day. And on and on and on and on. That's praising God. That's praising God. Recognizing, and I'm not talking about saying words just to say words. I'm talking about you feel this in your heart. You feel this in your heart. God, you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. You are an unchanging God. You are above all your creation. Your goodness and mercies are new every day. You are wonderful, you are glorious, you are beyond my comprehension. I cannot fathom the greatness of the God that saved me and the God I worship. We are talking to God about how we view him and how we feel in our heart. That is praise. That is praise. It's not, nothing wrong with that. If it's coming from here, but it has to be accompanied with a realization and acknowledgement that God is almighty from everlasting to everlasting. He is magnificent. He is glorious above all his creation. He is sovereign above everything, and he rules his kingdom from the throne that he always possesses. It is an understanding and an acknowledgement in our hearts as to who God is. That's the first thing that we understand when we're praising who God is. That's just the first part of praise. That we do that. And that's what we see here in the 104th division of the Psalms. You go through many of the Psalms, you can see the same thing. You say, well, why should I do this? Do you want to be successful in your prayer life? Do you want to see God work through your life? Or you just don't care? You're saved, you're going to heaven, and so you just sit and soak. Or are you overcome by the glory of God and by the magnificent person that he is? And so that comes out of your heart. That's what we were talking about over here in Hebrews. That's what it was saying over here in Hebrews. I'm going back there now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So the first thing in that is recognizing who he is and his attributes. Now the second thing is acknowledging and understanding his works. Not just who he is, but what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. If I am in my prayer chamber, which probably is my computer room, because Kay hardly ever comes in there, and I get in there by myself, and I'm just me and the Lord, and that's where I do all my studying and everything else. If I'm reading Scripture, and suddenly I'm overcome by what I'm reading, and I start thinking about what God has done in my life, and I start praising Him for who He is, and for what He has done, and what He is doing, and what He is going to do, then you know what I'm doing? I'm offering sacrifices acceptable to God. I'm offering sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And that's what this is all about, remember, back in 1 Peter. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And so, I acknowledge all of His works. First of all, think about your salvation. Think about your salvation. Then think about where God, where you were and where God has brought you to. And then think about where you are now and what God wants to carry you to and become, what you can become in Christ. What you can. Let me tell you something. There's no limit to what you can become in Christ. There's no limit with Him. The limit is with you. That's the problem. See, God's not the problem. Here's the problem. If I got a problem, it's not God, it's me. And so if I want to really see God work through my life and I want to offer Him praise that is acceptable to Him, then I recognize who He is, reciting His attributes, and I recognize His glorious works that He's done, that He's doing, that He's going to do. That is the second thing I recognize and acknowledge. When you come in here to this church on Sunday morning, and we had some great songs this morning, when you come in here and you get in this church, and the church assembles together, because this building in the church, we're the church, and the church assembles together, and the praise team starts praising and starts singing about the attributes of God and the works of God and who He is and what He's done, and you sit there like a frog on a toadstool? Don't think that's right. But you sit there anyway. You sit and soak instead of stand and praise, because you know why you do that? Because you haven't been overcome by the glory of God. Until you're overcome by the glory of God, you'll never praise. When the glory of God and the attributes of God and the person of God and the works of God overcome your flesh, you will start worshiping. And you, first of all, you worship who He is. Secondly, you'll worship His works. What He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Okay? That's the second thing. The third thing that we see is thanksgiving. Is thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. If you're a parent, the best thing that can happen to you is for your child to come up to you and say, "You know, thank you, Dad. I love you. Thank you, Mom. I love you." God's the same way. God's the same way. When you think about who He is, you think about what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do, the next step in line is thankfulness. You're thankful for who He is. You're thankful for what He's doing. And so thankfulness just absolutely begins to flow out of your heart. And you talk about an acceptable sacrifice to God. that is an acceptable sacrifice to God. We think about, oh, all these big works I'll do and this and that. Don't come in here on Sunday morning and just sit and soak and not think about who God is, what God does, and also with thanksgiving in your heart because of those two things. And then the next thing that we see is what flows out of that then? What flows out of who he is? What flows out of what he does? What flows out of a heart of thanksgiving? Service. Service. What does it say there in chapter 13, verse 15? And do not forget to do good and to share with others. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. You know, we can talk about serving the Lord all we want to, but until we start doing it, it's just mouthing. If you just talk about it, but you don't do it, what good is it? God doesn't give you this spirit and power within you and love you and want to flow through you without you doing something. Without you doing something. Action. Action. Put it into work in your life. Put it into work. You get opportunities every day. Every day in your life, you get opportunities. Everywhere you go, you get opportunities. You just don't look for them. You don't look for them. Whether it's at work, shopping, meeting somebody downtown, or whatever that it is, there's people continually all around you all the time. There are people you know right now that need help, and you know you can help them, and you don't. Now, how's that going to glorify God? How's that going to help? You see, this thing of praise goes past just out of the mouth. That's why he said, do good and share with others. You say, well, I shared my testimony. Yeah, but he means if you see somebody hungry and you've got more food than you need, give it to them. If you see somebody that needs to go to the doctor and they don't have a way to go to the doctor, you take them to the doctor, even if you do get there a month ahead. And Kevin knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, it is... We have opportunities all the time. The problem is we don't use them. All these things that come through our life are opportunities for us to order, for us to take the opportunity to become a living sacrifice to God that is pleasing to Him. And that's what this is all about being in the priesthood of the believer. Being in the priesthood of the believer. If the prophets in the Old Testament or the priests in the Old Testament said, yeah, I know what God said, but I'm not going to do anything about it. How long do you think they'd last before God? So these are things that I just wanted to bring up tonight, and I got 3 minutes. Doing what is right. Spiritual conduct that honors God. Spiritual conduct that honors God. All these things together that we've talked about means I offer myself and everything I am as a spiritual sacrifice. That doesn't mean I go out and kill myself to offer myself to God. God wants a living sacrifice. He wants somebody that will help somebody. He wants somebody that will love somebody. He wants somebody that will care about somebody. He wants somebody that will call somebody and see what they need. He wants somebody that will text somebody and say, you know, I love you and the Lord loves you and I'm praying for you every day. He wants, oh, this is what we're talking about. For me to know and not to do it, that is sin. For me to know and not to do it, that is sin. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir. And I wish all the people that could be here tonight, that are healthy and could be here, were here tonight. But you're stuck. You're here tonight. So there you go. But this is what it means to be in the priesthood of the believers. Union with God, access to God. In our access to God, it means spiritual living sacrifice to God. And we've mentioned those. Those are so important in our life as a believer. If you want God to work through you. If you want God to work through you. And I'm out of time. Has anybody got a question? Anybody got a question?